Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Cheers!
Cheers!
Hi, everybody. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy, and welcome to 51 First Dates, the podcast. We're so excited to have you all here, and we're also very, very excited to have Sammy from 180 Days of Not Dating. If you've heard this podcast before, you know that Sammy's not her real name, but she did originate this amazing Instagram and community and blog, and we are so excited to have you back on. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my God, we're so happy to have you back. I just want to like give a refresher course. Last time when we first contacted Sammy and like decided she would be on, she was like, oh, also like I have a couple days free. I'm going to just like fly to Brooklyn and see a friend and come visit and we'll record in person. And it was amazing. And then we got to hang out at Kimmy's old apartment and have beverages and get to know each other. And now we're on Zoom, which is also fine, but it was just extremely cool guesting. I feel like it was still like the smoothest guest move we've ever had.
Yeah, it was so special in my tiny apartment where like the chairs touch the closet, touch the wall, touch the desk. Yes.
All
now
of
I'm
it.
Super far away in Canada, but it's nice to see your faces. Yeah.
Before we started recording, I was talking about the current job I'm doing that's like semi for PBS. And I was like, PBS is like our public. And she was like, no, we have stuff in Canada. I was like, I don't know. I'm sorry. But it was extremely hilarious. Sammy, for anyone who wasn't listening closer towards the beginning of our podcast, can you give everyone a little recap about 180 Days of Not Dating? Like what the starting point was, like what got you going on it? Tell us all about it for the people who didn't listen.
So 180 Days of Not Dating was my Instagram account, is my Instagram account that I started almost 2 years ago. The idea was that I was a serial monogamist. I just always was dating someone all the time. And my therapist was like, that's not necessarily like the healthiest way to go. Like, what is up with that? Why do you do that? And maybe you should take a break. And she challenged me to go 180 days, approximately 6 months without dating. And I was like, I don't want to do this, but to like keep myself accountable and make sure I actually did it, I set up this Instagram account where I would post one little drawing and a little write-up about how every day was going. And I did that and it got like weirdly popular. It has like 20,000 followers now, which is still crazy to me that anyone cared that much about my weird life. So I did that for 180 days of not dating. And then after that, through the process of 180 days of not dating and a bunch of the therapy I was doing at that time, I realized that I had a bunch of PTSD. Cool, super fun. And so then continued after the 180 days to tell people about my PTSD recovery process. And when that was finally over, I kind of took a break. So the account is currently on pause, but people can go back and read all about my 180 day adventures and then PTSD recovery, if that's applicable to you or interesting to you at all. The therapy process was really wild and amazing and it works. So if anyone's interested in that, like check it out.
Yeah, I think that a lot – well, so many things. We wanted to have you on because, you know, we had many requests and we personally were part of those requests. We were really excited to talk with you again. Your Instagram account is really an unbelievable example of, like, how you can put yourself out there in a really positive way on social media. And I just really encourage any listeners who weren't here earlier on in the podcast or haven't checked it out to go there. But I think also – a lot of things revolving around dating and, you know, whether or not they're directly correlated to PTSD. We just get so many listeners writing in about, you know, kind of where therapy plays a role in dating, but also just broadly in life. Like, dating can really get people down. It got me down a lot. It's it's a difficult thing to do. And it's especially difficult if you have other things going on in your life. So I just, yeah. I really think your perspective is going to be very valuable. And I don't know, maybe just like in your opinion, where do you feel like therapy might, this is such an annoying like interviewee question that is not even a good interviewer's question. I'm just going to say it. Like, where do you think therapy has played the most important role in like your dating journey specifically, even outside of starting this project? I shouldn't call it a project. Ours is a project.
Yeah, it was a project.
Yeah.
To convince myself to do the hard work that I had to do. That's not a bad question though. I think it's been so important in bringing a lot of self-awareness to things that I was doing or patterns that I was having, and also in clearing up that PTSD. I'm basically like, I talk to people now who knew me before and they don't think that I'm different, but in my head, I'm so different in terms of dating and my self-awareness of just like if something happens in the dating world, say, now I'm not like, oh my God, I'm the worst. It's all my fault. Like, oh, me, everything's about me. Everything that person said and did is me. And now I just have this like total like different attitude. Like I'm stepped farther back and I can see things at, like, I was like, oh yeah, that person's obviously going through something, or yeah, now's not the right time for them. This is fine. It's not about me. But before, when I had all that PTSD swirling inside my head, I was so on edge all the time that like anything could set me off and anything was a terrible thing. But now I feel like I can see things with a bit more perspective and a bit more, I don't want to say rationally, because I feel like that's a word, it's like kind of a weird gendered word maybe. I don't want to go down that path, but I can see things from a more realistic perspective, let's say.
I feel like that's getting to that point is like achieving dating nirvana, or like a spiritual dating awakening. Oh my God, that awakenment, not a word at all.
I like it.
But like, but I feel like that's kind of that moment where I feel like something that Kimmy experienced in her dating project too. And I've seen it happen with other friends and like even family members and stuff like that. When you're dating, I feel like it happens a lot when you break regular dating habits you have, when you realize like, oh, like very few things are actually about, have anything to do with me as a person. And a lot of things have to do with, you know, everybody else. So like where other people are at, like, it's just alchemy. Like everything has to come together and it doesn't happen that often. And the like deep realization of that, I feel like, is the highest pinnacle of Illuminati dating awareness.
I feel like I should also say that like the therapy helped me achieve that mindset, but it was actually Kimmy that put it into the words that I needed. So listening to the podcast was like part of my therapy and was so helpful that it was actually Kimmy saying those things like, oh, I all of a sudden realized it's not about me. It's like about that other person. So thank you, Kimmy, for that.
That feels like, okay, I'm just going to try to like be an adult who can be like, you're welcome. But I don't think it's more like, I think I'm uncomfortable because like for me that moment was like also hearing other people say that, but then it finally clicking, and like therapy was a huge part in that for me, because I feel like, I don't know, it's really easy to for or was easy for me to go to therapy, hear those things, hear that it's not about me, but it took like a different level of doing different things in my life, and then also like hearing other people have the same experience. So maybe like if I could be one of those people to you, that's fucking amazing. But like I take a lot of your drawings and posts are so deeply relatable that like, you know, I think it's interesting that we can all impact each other's journeys. It's all about not feeling alone, guys. I'm very cheesy tonight.
It's lovely. Yes, and I totally agree. Yeah.
Amazing. I love, like, Kimmy is giving guru vibes right now because, you know, you guys can't see her, but she's sitting in the dark because she can't finish, but just, like, the glow around your face is so magical. Like, I would follow you anywhere.
I have this, like, it is right before the American holiday of the 4th of July. If you heard any fireworks at the top, I'm so sorry. I'm at my dad's house and the lights are on a timer and he's not here and I can't figure them out. So there's this one desk lamp that's like just giving me this red glow. So I will just continue to live through that guru vibe.
It's very magical. But Okay, so Sammy, I have to be, it's so, I wish, like, I didn't know your real name. It would make it easier. I'm not going to say it. I am not going to.
We already fucked up 8 times in the intro, and then we said Sammy.
Yeah, spoiler. This is our, like, 12th intro recording.
But maybe, sorry, just briefly for any listeners who don't know 180 Days of Not Dating, like, once you see the posts, like, it's really valuable. Your privacy is important, and, like, the way you're able to be so vulnerable is so special.
In present day, will you tell us a little bit about where you stand with dating now? Are you in, out, neutral? Have you committed to monkness?
Yes, that is amazing. That's what I decided. No,
don the robes. Yeah.
By the way, I thought, I mean, last time I was on the pod, I was like super freaked out about dating because I was actually, I didn't say it at the time because I didn't want to ruin anything for the story that I was kind of ongoingly telling on my Instagram, but I had just kind of started thinking about going back into the dating game and I was super freaked out. Like, even just going 6 months out of dating, I feel like I was so awkward like going back, and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I want to even do this. But it's been about a year, I guess we were saying, since I've been on. And I did decide that I wanted to go back into the dating game and see what was out there, see if there was anybody for me, see what kind of, what that kind of felt like in my life. Yeah, so I'm dating now. I'm dating a dude. We've been dating for like almost 3 months now, which seems crazy, but it's true.
Wow, that's exciting. So tell us a little bit. Okay, will you tell us about some of your first dates? Well, I know at some point we're going to get into talking about dating with kids, because that's obviously like its own special thing to navigate. Kids meaning a kid. You have one kid. Yeah. And a cat, which I can see behind you, which counts.
Oh, yeah.
But like in terms of just like purely you from your perspective with your experiment getting back into dating after this gap, can you tell us about like your first couple dates back and like the highs and lows of that?
Okay, that's a lot to cover.
Oh my god, that is a lot.
Very, very first date back in the game, I actually did cover on the Instagram if anyone wants to check that out. There was like a guy from my past who I'd been like regretting the way things went because he was a super nice guy and I kind of couldn't handle him at the time because he was too nice and I felt like I like didn't deserve that. That whole narrative. And so once I started like feeling better, I was like, okay, I'm gonna check in with this dude. And I also happened to see around the same time on his Instagram that he'd posted something about being single, and I was like, oh, interesting. So we went out on a date and it was pretty awful, and not awful in terms of some of the bad first date stories that you tell on this podcast, but just kind of, it was not good. There was no vibe. So that was good to just check in with that. And also like confirm to myself like, oh, okay. So I'm thinking about nice guys now. That's a change for me. And that's probably a good direction to go in. Okay. Then the next date after that. So then I tried app dating for the first time in my life. Cause I've always been in relationships and then I always just go to the next person who's like standing beside the guy I just dated and then start dating that guy. So I never had the opportunity to go on the app dating. But I went on OkCupid first. And
what were your thoughts? Sorry.
Yeah. What were my thoughts?
On OkCupid specifically. Cause that's one I like didn't use just cause I was lazy.
Yeah. That's the thing though, right? It's like, it takes a long time to make a good profile because they have all the questions and you can make a really, really long one, which I think looking at it now, I was kind of using it as an excuse to not go on dates. Because if somebody says every single thing about them, you can find something wrong in there where you're like, nope, don't want to date that guy.
Oh yeah.
So like if they list like 99 of their favorite movies and then one of them is like one that I don't like, I'm like, no thanks. So I've spent a lot of time just like reading endless profiles and being like, nope, 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 nope. But finally like found one dude who we went on a date and I told him kind of like what I was thinking or like kind of about the Instagram account that I like wrote online about dating for a kind of like millennial audience. And he was like so uncomfortable with it, which was so interesting. Turns out he's like on the ethics committee of like the college that he works at and had a bunch of like ethical quandaries about writing about people without their consent and just like brought up a lot of stuff for me, not necessarily like dating wise, but like ethics wise in my life. So that was interesting.
Oh my God.
I'm feeling like all my like, oh fuck, if I really thought about the ethics around this podcast, as anonymous as every date was, like as much as I never feel like it's weird when a guest talks about their date, when we did it specific, like, yeah, I felt really weird a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But then I'm just going to bring us back in my guru red light here. Like, it was so comforting to see your posts, Sammy. Almost did it again. And then if anyone ever feels like they can relate to us chatting about our past experiences, I don't know. It's such a weird line, but that's very uncomfortable on a date. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I thought about you a lot, obviously, during that time as well. And kind of it gave me like a good chance to think about – I sort of sent him, because I had it in my head, but I'd never really written it down, like an ethical code of what I was doing about how I was protecting people's identity and how I would speak about them. Like, I dated some shitty people, but for the most part, spoke about people in a pretty nice light, like you do as well. Like, and you never really trash talked people about the dates. So, yeah, it was a good chance to kind of outline that for myself and then send it to him. But that didn't actually work out because of kids. Like, he had kids as well, which initially I was like into, because I was like, oh, you must understand like dating with kids. But it meant that our schedules never lined up. We could see each other every other Saturday and then Mondays after 7 p.m. Those were our common times. So that just didn't work out. We kind of like ghosted each other, and then he came back. What's that? Zombieing? You like come back after?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Fuck. I've never heard that, but that's incredible.
Yeah, so he came back and I was like, I'm seeing someone now. Sorry. So dated that guy and for like two dates. Dated the bad date, which I'm gonna tell you about. If you're gonna ask me about a bad date I recently
definitely.
Had.
Definitely.
Yes. Always. We sometimes forget to do it first, but we always are ready for them.
And then dated this guy that I'm now seeing. So I didn't really do too much of the dates. I think because I was like really picky in the online part and making sure the person going out with him was good.
I feel like that makes sense, especially when, like you said, like you have a child and your time is more precious because you have certain nights where it's like it's nights you can go on dates and, you know, it makes sense to be like selective and just value those like straight up hours.
And so it makes sense given the context. Like, I'm just thinking we're always talking about like what I ended up doing because my therapist was like, go on more dates. But your therapist literally said the opposite at one point in life. You know, it's just like it makes sense. Like, I think sometimes we get in the mindset of like, go on dates. But we also try to like it's really great to talk with you and be like, sometimes it's not about that. It's like be more picky about your dates, especially if you're trying something new like online dating. Like, that is fully okay. We love when people go on dates if that's like breaking their mold. But then sometimes it's really just important for us to remember like not everyone was stuck in what like Kimmy was stuck in. Me. That was me. That was third person. Sorry.
Okay, so, oh my God, I want to know about this horrible date. Will you tell us?
Okay, so I should probably clarify, like, the person themselves was not that horrible, but it was kind of horrible. I should preface it by saying that my kid had been super sick on the Friday night and, like, barfing a whole bunch.
Oh.
So, like, that's not great, but the day was on Monday, so, and, like, I don't know, I had been feeling also kind of sick, like, but being like, oh, maybe just seeing someone else sick makes you feel sick. Maybe I'm fine. Yeah. So I thought I was fine. And so then also they scheduled this date for 9 p.m., which is late for me as a mother who eats at like 5 p.m. So
it's late for me as a human who likes to be done talking by 9 p.m.
That, and then I decided I like wasn't gonna eat any dinner because I'd like eat on the date. It's fine. So I got there and immediately there was like no vibe with this person, which was kind of weird because I can find like a vibe with anyone. Like, I've seen about it recently. I've been like vibing with like my local grocery store lady. She's like giving me a lot of like free food and she's just like an old lady. I can vibe with like anyone, but this person was just like was like, nothing, which is fine. But so I was like, okay, well, I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat dinner and like, I'll stay with this person and learn about their life and maybe it'll be interesting. It's fine. I don't care if there's no vibe, whatever. And got a drink just to like make things easier, but took like one sip of the drink and I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
I'm going to puke.
Oh, oh my God.
And, but I was like, I don't know. It's fine. I'll just like, my stomach's empty. It's 9 p.m. I didn't eat dinner. I'll just like get the food. It'll be fine. So I like wait for the dinner and like try to go easy on my drink and start eating the dinner. And I'm like, oh no, no. And in the meantime, like, oh, I'm not even listening to anything they're saying. Cause I'm just like sitting there being like, don't puke, don't puke.
Oh my God.
I know and that I feeling. Oh.
Ate like 3/4 of the meal. And then was like, no, I can't. I gotta go. And I just stood up and I was like, I have to pee, gotta go, bye. And just like ran to the bathroom. I just barfed like everywhere, all over.
Oh my
like,
God.
So gross. And like didn't even lock the stall because I like couldn't. And so a girl like came in and then it was like the most Canadian thing. She was like, oh, sorry. And I was like, oh, sorry. And bleh, I was like barfing and like apologizing. So bad. So I finished barfing and then I'm like, oh, fuck. I have two options right now. Like, I can go out there and then either tell this person I was like Ralphing, which makes me look like either a super lightweight drunk or because I had like one sip of my drink or that I was with my contagiously barfing child and now they're probably going to get it because it's obviously contagious and just takes a while to hit you. And I had told them that my kid was sick, so I didn't want them to think that I was making them sick. So I decided I was just going to pretend nothing happened.
Oh, my goodness. You saint. Like,
you are very brave. Because also, even if you tell someone on a date, like, hey, I just barfed, like, then there's also that thing of, like, they might think you're doing the, like, rom-com thing of making it up. You know what I mean? Like, make an excuse so you can leave, especially if there's no vibe. It's like, that's a really tricky situation.
Yeah. So I just decided to not mention it. So back to the table and they had thankfully got the food packed up and they were like, here, you can take this home. And I was like, oh God. But I took it and like took another drink of my drink to just like swirl it around in my mouth so I didn't like smell like barf. And then went out onto the street and like found a cab and then they went to kiss me goodbye, but I had just been barfing. So I totally like ducked their kiss and avoided that. And then I realized like after, while I'm in the cab ride home, like, actually, that was probably a good thing that I was barfing a whole bunch, because under normal circumstances, I probably would have let that person kiss me, because I would have been, like, trying to be polite, or, like, nice, or whatever, but I didn't want to kiss them, the date was not good, there was no vibe, so I think, in the long run, the fact that I barfed a whole bunch was actually, like, a good thing, and taught me about, like, that you don't have to kiss people just because they're going to kiss you. You can duck their kiss for any reason, whether it's barfing or you're just not into it. So,
wait, I kind of, I really, sorry. I was going to say, I really like that, but I'm sorry that you were so sick. And there was a lot of that date that I don't know, honestly, what I would do. And I think I would default to a lot of just like being polite, but I kind of like that like lesson that you gathered from it because. So often, even when I felt more empowered in dating and even when I took things less personally, I just feel like, I don't know, it's really easy for me to default to, and I'm pretty sassy. Like, I will say my opinions, but in certain situations, especially on dates, like, just default to, like, this thing that's polite, but it's almost, like, beyond polite. It's like, you don't actually have to kiss someone because they lean into you. Like, it feels polite, but, like, I don't think that men necessarily – and I'm speaking heteronormatively right now, but, like, I just think, like, straight men don't feel like they have to kiss anyone who leans into them, and not all women, straight or not, do, but I don't know. There's just something there that, like, I really appreciate. It's like, well, had I barfed, how would I act on that date? Maybe differently. Like, I don't know.
I feel like sorry. Go ahead, Sammy.
I was just going to say, I thought about Kimmy as well. Kimmy, now you're going to be, like, freaked out that I think about you all the time.
Not at all.
And then I went home and I had the urge to, be like, send a nice text. Be like, thank you for a lovely evening. But I thought about some of the conversations that you two have had here. I was just like, you know what? I don't need to send that text. Like, didn't necessarily have a lovely evening. And why would I be actually doing that? Just to be nice, or because I actually felt that way? And
yeah,
so that was empowering too, to not feel like I had to do that as well.
Yeah.
It's funny. I feel like turning down a kiss and like sending the like, nice to meet you, but I don't feel any connection text. There's like a connection there. I feel like we need to start gathering stories of how people have turned down kisses. You know what I mean? Because it's such a delicate thing to do. Sam, we've been talking a lot recently about the text you send the next day when you didn't like the person, or when someone asks you on a second date and you just didn't feel it. Like what you write, how honest you are, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But I feel like I want to start gathering the stories of how you've dodged or turned down like kisses. So listeners, if you have them, send them in.
Because it's almost like it's more personal because you're in person with that other party. But your date, it's also, it requires so much more bravery on their part if they're the one kissing than like a text of like, can we go out again? So it's so tricky.
Well, you also have to make a snap judgment. You don't have like an hour to sit with the text and craft. You know, it's like you have to in the moment be like, okay, like, where are we go? How's this happening?
I'm also all about consent now. Like, Me Too happened during my 180 days of not dating. So going back into the dating game. Also, I thought that like dudes would have like absorbed some of that information and dating would be different. But surprise, no, they're still not going for consent. But I feel like it's totally legit to dodge a kiss or not accept a kiss just because they straight up didn't ask for it. Like, even if you want to kiss them, you can be like, whoa, can you like ask me maybe, or what's going on here? And I've kind of taken on a lot more of that consent language and stuff these days.
I think that's a really great point, because if we zoomed out and think about how many times like subordinate coworkers, even not even subordinate to boss, but people in work environments where the stakes are so much higher in weird ways, we're just being polite and like accepting a kiss or more, or like these awful things that, you know, spurred the Me Too movement. It's a good lesson. It's funny how often I feel like that was a moment in time and I'm moving on and everything's better, and then you're like, no, it's not. Just because we talked about it doesn't mean anybody's changed their behavior.
No, it's tricky because I think that a lot of people are changing and adapting, but the ones who aren't like really aren't. On that sad note, let's take a quick ad break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Sammy a little bit more about dating with kids.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back. We're back here after that ad break. Many of our listeners have requested, you know, a little bit more conversation around dating as a parent, as a single parent for the most part, but just kind of the complications that come around that. Sammy, I know you mentioned that one person you were dating and how it was tricky to just even see each other. So I'm just wondering if like zooming out, if you had like one piece of advice that you felt like was actually helpful to you in kind of telling yourself how to manage scheduling around dating and not feeling guilty about it. I don't know. I'm really going, I don't have any expertise here. So
that, I'd say is like still a challenge in all honesty. I have a pretty set schedule, which is nice, but, sometimes it changes depending, like the baby daddy and I are like super good friends and we want to be flexible to help each other out. So what that means is that I'm the one who knows the schedule. The dude I'm dating like doesn't really. I've thought about like having a shared Google Calendar where he can see what the schedule is, but it means that I'm basically the one that instigates the hangouts every time because I know the schedule and he doesn't. Mm-hmm. And that's something that he's said is he actually like doesn't mind someone who has a kid, but that's something he misses, like the ability to have spontaneous dates, whereas I'm like, no, we need to schedule this. I need to book this on the calendar. Otherwise, I'm going to have to move it to accommodate the baby daddy. So that's one thing to consider. But it's fine. I mean, for the most part, like, we make it work. He's like, if he didn't want to make that work or didn't care about it, then it just wouldn't work out with him. And that's fine. So it's kind of like a litmus test, would you say, of like someone's goodness as a human is, are they willing to work with the stuff you've got going on?
Totally. And when you were like first getting back into dating, going on OkCupid, like doing all of that stuff, were you really front and center about the fact that you had a kid? Like, did you put it in your profile? Were you like, this is all of it, like, take it or leave it?
That is such a good question. I would love to tell you about my dating journey on apps and what ended up happening. So I started with OkCupid because A, I wanted to like read every single thing about everybody before I dated them. But also I wanted to say some shit about myself. So I had like a big part, I would say like a third of my OkCupid was dedicated to like explaining my situation. So I like posted in the pictures. I had one that had my kid in it, but not with her face. Like I had like a little emoji on her face because respect her privacy, but it was like literally the cutest picture I have of myself also has her in it. So I had that for multiple reasons, but I wanted to be like really clear, upfront, have a kid, this is a thing. And then I explained in the thing, like, I have this kid and I have her on like, I think I even said like the specific days that I had her, and also like that I have a great relationship with the baby daddy, so there's no drama. And I just was trying to like preemptively think of what are the things that people are going to be turned off by, like, oh, that girl is a kid, she probably like, I don't know, there's probably like shit going down with her baby daddy and like whatever. So I was like trying to like answer questions before they were even questions, and this is like, it's like probably too much information. So had it, we can keep it for a bit, and then I got Hinge, where you have like less information. So even in my Hinge profile, I still had that's a cute picture of me, obviously, with my kid in it. And then in the caption of that photo, I explained the thing about the baby daddy and, like, no drama. And also, I should say, can I, like, briefly pause this to
say? Oh, my God, of course.
Yeah. Hinge? Was it Hinge? I think it was Hinge. Either Hinge or Bumble accidentally somehow gave me a paid membership when I didn't pay for it. I don't know what happened. I feel like they felt bad for me. Like Hinge, I swiped through literally everyone and they were like, you are done. There are no more people to look at. And I was like, cool. So I feel like it was Hinge. Anyway, and then on one of those platforms, you can search whether someone else has kids or not. Oh. So I was going through and I was like, oh my God, none of these dudes have kids. Like, are they going to want to date me? I don't know. I need someone who like has kids and understands my situation and like swiping. And then I noticed that it was like, oh, premium membership. I was like, what the fuck? I didn't pay for that. Anyway, so with the premium membership, you can search whether someone has kids. And there were so many dudes that had kids that were not actually putting that in their profile.
Oh. So you can see like another layer of information? Oh.
Even if they're not posting it, it'll only show the people that have kids.
Interesting.
So that was super interesting. And I was like, fuck, if those dudes aren't like being honest about it, like maybe I don't have to be like so upfront and like say every single thing about my situation. So got bored of Hinge, obviously, because I've reached the max. Like I saw everyone.
We've heard of that also so many times. Like I just feel like so often, and it's rude when these apps are like, you have exhausted. Like I remember that. It's like, fuck you. If that is true, no. Your app is not popular enough. No.
Yeah, it's not my fault that your app is not popular. So then I went on Bumble, and my therapist originally – so other therapist, not the one who told me to take the dating break. I have another therapist, my trauma therapist, and she was like, you definitely need to be dating because, like, a way that you heal trauma is through connection and through other people. And she was, and I was like, but I don't know what to put in my profile. And she was like, just put a picture of yourself. Like, you're relatively attractive. That's all people care about. You don't have to write anything. And so I got Bumble and I was like, just like looking at it and seeing what it was. So I literally just had one picture of myself and no information. That's when I got a lot of matches. And then I was saying to people, I was like, literally, like, anyone who I was, like, even a little bit interested, I was like, I just want you to know, like, I didn't put it in my profile, but I have a kid, and is that okay? And, like, everyone except one dude who, like, seemed to have an issue, he was like, no, I really decided that's not for me. Everyone was like, yeah, that's fine.
Oh, so that was so really interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. So interesting, especially given, like, what Bumble looks like. It is truly so picture-centric, I feel like.
Yeah.
And it – what – why – like – I don't know. It's really interesting too. I think it's still, I don't want to say brave because that sounds annoying, but like I think it's still cool that you shared that so early on. And I feel like I remember people sharing that with me early on. And I almost wouldn't though be mad if I went on a first date with someone and didn't know that. Like I appreciate that you wanted to share that, Sammy. But like, I don't know. It just seems, it does seem quite stressful. Like I wish there was a way to share that without having to feel like you're over, like you have to write it in your bio or something.
Yeah. And like, I like a good flirty banter early on, but when my like second thing after high is like, by the way, I have a kid, it like kind of messes with the vibe. I should tell you though, because now I've had the opposite, like the other experience too, is so the guy I'm dating now, mm-hmm. I actually met him in person at an event in December. And I was like, he's so cute. And I was so into him and we had like such a good vibe. But I was there for work and like also like pretty new getting back into dating. I was like, I don't know how to ask him out. And like, I'm here like representing my work and I don't think I should. But I really want him to ask me out. I like just didn't know how. And so I just didn't. But I like sent him a follow-up email the next day being like, it was like so nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. And like hoping he would ask me out and he didn't. And then we met on, and then I saw him on Bumble. He was like one of my first like swipes that I saw. And so I was like, oh, hey, member from that event. And he was like, oh yeah, like let's go on a date. And at the event, I'd been like, blah, 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 my kid, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh, he knows, like it's perfect. Like I don't have to bring it up. And so we get there and then he's like, oh, so what'd you do today? And I was like, something, something, my kid. You knew I had a kid, right? Or you like, you remember that? And he was like, no.
Oh.
I totally tricked him into going on a date with me. That's how I felt.
You did not. You did not. No. You did absolutely. No, I'm sorry. I wouldn't call it tricking. I'm sorry.
No. But I didn't do my whole like preamble and it wasn't like – it was actually – by that time I had put it in my Bumble bio, like just the little icon or whatever that said I had a kid.
Oh, that's – I like that. Like an emoji or a – or yeah. No, there's a thing. For, yeah.
Yeah. And then so I was like, I have this kid. And then he's not okay. This is like our thing that we have issues with is he's not big on words of affirmation, which is my big love language. So instead of being like, it's fine, I like you, blah, blah, he like literally said nothing. So I was like, oh my God, is it fine? Is it not fine? And then he pulls out his phone and he was like, look, my sister just had a baby yesterday. And like, here's her. And like, this is my nieces and I love hanging out with my nieces. And so it was really nice. It wasn't like super affirming. I wish he had said like, that's fine. But
it's interesting.
In our conversation, I realized like it was fine and it is fine. And I feel like I'm just going on and on, but
no,
I want
not at all.
Thing.
No.
I feel like that's, yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, it's funny. It's cool to hear that you generally did get that response of like most people were like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I feel like that's, you know, to me, that would be the intuitive response. It's like, yeah, sure. But was that surprising to you? Like, did you have an expectation that, like, you were just – people were just going to be nexting you left and right because of that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, to be straight up honest, like, I don't really want to date someone who already has a kid. I just kind of wanted to do it because I thought that was the only people that would like me. But it was nice to see that that was not the case.
Interesting. So when you were first talking to people, you were kind of defaulting to looking for men who like already had children, who you thought would be on the same page.
Yeah. I thought that would be like easier because they would get it. But then I did go on that date with the guy who did have kids and realized like when you're dating someone with a kid, you're also taking on – because I'm a super empath, so I take on a lot of other people's energy and feelings, and I realized that it wasn't just him. I was starting to take on like his daughter had a hard day at school, and like his kid was doing so and so, and like his ex, blah blah blah. And I actually like really related to his ex and thought she seemed kind of cool. But I realized, like, when you're dating someone with a kid, you're not just taking on their energy. You're taking on a whole family's energy as well. So that's something to keep in mind also.
Yeah, no, totally.
It's a really good point.
I feel like also dating someone who has an existing kid, like my kid is almost five. It's almost easier because, like, having a baby is really rough and really awful. But if you get to skip that part and just, like, come into a family where a kid is five, like, I'm into that. Yeah. So there might be people out there thinking that way as well. So who knows? You don't know until you...
Yeah. That's, like, what I could not articulate but was thinking. Like, maybe that... Yeah. Maybe, like, there's someone who wants every different version of every different life. So finding your match is... finding a match in so many ways. And then in terms of, like, the person you're dating now and your child, like, if you are open to sharing, how did you kind of, like, integrate those parts of your life, or have you, or
that was the last thing I definitely wanted to mention, is that so while I was doing the 180 days about dating, I was, like, reading so much and learning so much. Also, I wasn't working at the time because I was on mental health leave for PTSD. So I was, like, learning so much. And one of the things that I learned about was that during the first 6 months of your relationship, your hormones are, like, totally batshit crazy. And they convince you that the person that you're with is so awesome and, like, definitely the person for you. And it has to do with, like, the fact that you're having a bunch of sex and there's, like, oxytocin around, and you're just, you, like, just feel high almost from dating someone, and you actually can't get an accurate read on that, who that person is and if they're perfect for you in those first 6 months. And it's actually impossible to maintain that passionate love feeling for more than 6 months. 'Cause, like, if you did, all those hormones in your body, you would, this is what I heard and read, but, like, is this true? You would actually die if your hormones maintain that level of, like, crazy passion. But then after the 6 months, they start to kind of, like, go away. And you kind of start to be able to have a real perception of who this person is and if they're a good fit for you or whatever. So the baby daddy and I made a rule that we're not going to introduce people to our kid until at least that 6 month window, 7, maybe 8 months, so that we can get a real sense of, is this a good match? We don't want to be introducing her to, like, every random person. Like, we don't want her to start bonding with people and then they're just not in her life anymore. And honestly, also for me, part of my thing with the baby daddy, like, we were intentionally having a child at 5 months. Like, we'd been together for 5 months and I was like, yes, let's have a baby together and let's do it right now. Still in that crazy hormone stage.
Yeah.
And then when we were together, I was like, do you want to be with me or do you just want to be with me because we have a kid together? And, like, had all that. And, like, I kind of want to take these 6 months to myself and be like, yeah, you're into me. Not like, oh, you met my kid and my kid is cool and you, like, see this future that we could all have together. I want the person I'm dating to, like, actually like me because I was so unsure about that in the previous relationship. So I'm enjoying this time where they don't know each other. And yes, it's hard for scheduling because that means I can't see him on the days that I have her. But so far, so good.
I think that is amazing in so many ways. First of all, that you and your baby daddy – sorry, it sounds weird when I say that – your co-parent, whatever, your baby daddy, that you are able to come to this thing together. Like, that is so fucking mature. Like, I am not that mature, and I just want to shout that out. But also, everything you say makes perfect sense to me. And, like, just, like, as a child who had parents, like, I think that your daughter will really appreciate that in the future, even if she never knows about it. You know, like, it just feels really – I don't know. And also having something that is agreed upon, it just seems very healthy. I'm sure you know that and have come to that on your own. I'm just, like – very much like, fuck, I wish, I know I wouldn't be that mature, but I like that.
Well, I feel like the thing that's so smart and cool about it, just to continue to pile on how awesome you are.
I know,
is, like, you're taking care of her, but you're also taking care of yourself. Like, you know, I think that's the secret of, like, so much of life. It's the oxygen mask rule or whatever. You know, it's like, you're going to be a better parent if you're taking care of yourself. She's going to be a happier, you know, right? I mean, this is what... my sister is a new parent and this is something that she's been talking about and like coming to and whatever is like the balance of how much of her, you know, her happiness will affect her daughter's happiness. And it's really, I think it's really cool and like very, very wise that you're like, also like, this is, he's got to like me for me and not be telling himself the story of what we are. And it has to be the right thing for me for it, this to, you know, be copacetic.
Yeah.
It also feels like there, there are a lot, like, there are ways to apply that. Like, nothing is like having a child that, like, you could date someone and they could fall in love with your child as well. That's, like, the ultimate pinnacle. But I feel like there are other smaller iterations of this or, like, smaller summits on the mountain that – which is totally me thinking of your drawings, Sammy P.S. I'm like, ooh, mountains. But just thinking about, like, in relationships, even without children, just, like, whatever your – not that it has to be a rule about months, but certain things that you just – maybe in the past, things have gotten caught up in relationships that aren't necessarily part of you, but part of your life that, like, you want to remove yourself from. I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, other ways we could apply this because it just feels so – it feels like you're taking care of yourself and, like, being really self-aware. And I'm trying to think of other ways, like, we all, any listener, any of us could take care of this kind of sense of self in dating, like, to maybe – be sure about certain things. I don't know if that's too
I feel absurd. Like the 6-month rule applies to everybody, not just people with kids. Like, don't move in with someone at like 5 months. Just don't. I know housing's expensive in a lot of cities, but don't do it until like 7 months. A lot of stuff like that.
Or wait 3.5 years, like the really healthy avoidant personality type that I am. That was also a really healthy, smooth move.
Like, you gotta be really sure.
Or, you know, go to therapy for your avoidance issues. But yeah, I mean, especially New Yorkers. I feel like I know a lot of people who have made that jump in New York because they're like, I can get a really nice one bedroom. And it's like, yeah, but what about when you break up and then you're living at, like, Kimmy and I have both known a lot of people living in a one bedroom together with an ex. And it's, I've probably known 20 people who have been in that situation and it is a bummer.
Even like light career planning things where I will or won't do this before 6 months with someone. Like, I'm thinking about like the fact that I went to business school. Like, I don't know. I think like in slight ways, I'm not saying we all do this, but you can start to, you can meet someone and you can have these feelings and this chemistry and like start thinking about like, I don't know, staying in a certain track because you'd be together. And sometimes that's important. But I think before 6 months, like it can be caught up in a lot of other things and feelings.
Before we let you go, Sammy, do you have any like parting Oprah advice for people out there dating with kids?
I guess the only thing I could leave people with is like my encouragement and my empathy. I know it's hard and probably what was right for me won't be right for other people, but just trying to like keep your eye on that gauge of what is right for you and not be swayed by crazy things like hormones or like, oh, you just need a babysitter, so let's like find some dude. I don't know. Just, I feel you, parents out there. Good luck.
Yeah. Yo, that actually is fucking wise. Even though I've said everything has been wise, I am like gushing, but like it's fucking wise to be like, I appreciate that, like, what works for you isn't what works for another person, and we need to remind – we love drilling in the go-on dates, but, like, I just want to say that as Kimmy. I think that going on all these dates and having a goal was really helpful for me, but, again, like, I feel you all who are struggling in wanting to even do that. So
I feel like we need to change go on a date to go to therapy because that's like the only that's the only thing, because it's like go to therapy and then your therapist will tell you what to do. We won't – we are not going to tell you to go on dates anymore. We're just going to tell you to go to therapy. Like,
that's true.
They'll tell you, you know, a nice lady in a comfortable armchair will point you in the right direction.
So true.
Amazing. On that note, Sammy, tell everyone where they can follow you, even though we've already said it. But
okay, so the Instagram account is at 180 first dates, and 180 is the number 180.
Wait, and it's right not 180 now, first dates. Sorry.
Oh, no.
We can cut that, but I also love it.
Oh, my God. I want to keep it in.
Because I screwed up before. I said, like, 180 first dates or something.
No, please don't go on 180 first dates. Unless you want to. Everyone has their own. No, 180 days of not dating. Thank you. At Instagram. And so right now, the story itself in the post is kind of on pause, but I am posting stories once in a while about what's going on lately. So there's still content happening if you want to follow along and see what's going on.
And I will also just highly recommend, I do this a lot. Like, I go back into your back catalog and just read the posts and look at the drawings. And it's very meaningful and inspirational and helpful. And yeah, I think the stuff you make is really beautiful and great.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I just, if you're on the train or something, rather than, I don't know, scroll through just regular Instagram, it's nice because you really, you go into your comment section, like it's a true, I don't want to call it a blog, sorry, but like you're writing true pieces to go along with the art, which is so, you know, it's a different level of like connecting versus like just a visual or a meme or something. I highly recommend it next time you're commuting, as long as you're not driving. If you're driving, listen to us. If you're on the subway in New York or on a train, you are looking at 180 days of not dating. Okay, cool. We figured completely. It out. Great. Yeah.
And it'll be linked in the show notes below. And you can follow us at 51 First Dates Pod at sorry, apparently this is just the day of getting handles wrong. At 51 First Dates Pod, you can email us your worst first date stories, your avoiding kisses stories, your any stories about dating at 51firstdatespod@gmail.com. Please join our secret Facebook group that we talk about all the time, and rate, subscribe, review if you would be so kind.
Screenshot this, put it in your Instagram story, follow us on Instagram, all of the things. We appreciate it. We love you so much. Sammy, we appreciate this the most. Thank you so much for sharing. And, you know, we had a lot of listener questions around these topics, and we appreciate you coming on to help us think through them because we don't have the same experiences.
Amazing. Thank you for having me. It's been so fun to see you two again. I love it.
We'll have to check in again. All right.
Wonderful. And go to therapy and go on a date.
Go to therapy.